Call is now being recorded.
So welcome to today's show. I'm so pleased to share very powerful healer and therapist Kim Kubel. She has a nonprofit called StrengthToHeal.org, which focuses on educating clinicians and caregivers and survivors about human trafficking and ritual abuse and providing resources for recovering and healing. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you, Renee.
And I also want to say that Kim has done extensive work on her own healing, so she really comes out of her own experience and wanting to be of service in the world. And she's a shamanic healer. She's a depth hypnosis practitioner and therapist. She's currently pursuing her PhD in spiritual counseling. She runs this nonprofit. She's authored a book that she's getting ready to release, and she's preparing after this next phase of her own process to start to see clients in the next month or so, which is very exciting. She has a lot to offer the world. So welcome, Kim. You know, you've really come from this place of tremendous suffering, and you're bringing that to others. So I wonder if you just want to tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words and what your experience has been with human trafficking and abuse and recovery.
Thank you, Renee. I do want to add that I have been seeing clients for a good few years already. And the experience I have is working with addiction, grief and loss, sexual trauma, divorce, addiction. And so I'm just going to go a little into my story. I was raised in Australia with addicts, alcoholics as parents and family. I grew up in a family where there was emotional, physical, mental abuse, and on top of that, human trafficking and satanic ritual abuse. I, at an early age, felt alone, wanted to die, and wanted to hurt others as a way of stopping the hurt that I experienced. I started drinking alcoholically, I believe now, when I was about 5 or 6, when I was given alcohol. Back then it was normal for children to be given alcohol at an early age. And so my various addictions developed, my overeating, my debting, my love addiction, giving my power away to men and women, taking responsibility for others and being an eternal victim, as well as many other 12-step programs I've been in. I, as I mentioned, had these forms of abuse, and was severely traumatized, so much so that I wanted to slash my list and tried to do so numerous times in my teens. I sought out emotionally available, emotionally abusive men and women, because that's all I knew. That's all I grew up with. And so this became a pattern of mine throughout my teens, using, drinking, all the other addictions. I have 21 addictions that I've addressed one day at a time. And so I then moved to the Great Britain to, I believe now, to escape the family of origin. However, my drinking and using and my behavior patterns followed me, and I wasn't conscious of being a victim, nor using my love addiction, nor the overeating, or giving my power away to men and women. And so I would often end up drunk, out of my wits, not knowing what I said or did. And so I'm going to fast forward now to when I got into recovery. And I got into 12-step recovery when I was 33, into adult children of alcoholics, having grown up in an alcoholic family. So there I addressed my lying, stealing, cheating, giving my power away to others. And then before I knew it, I was in AA to address my alcoholic tendencies. And so that started a pattern for me of addressing all these addictions that I had. I also had post-traumatic stress disorder, dissociative identity disorder, where I fragmented and left my body and didn't know I was doing it. I had MDD, major depressive disorder, chronic fatigue syndrome, problems with my digestive system. And so I got into therapy at around the same time I got into 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there I needed to confront my alcoholism. Even though I drank periodically, I still would drink alcoholically. And so it was in therapy that I confronted my own demons. And this didn't happen straight away, and I did it on my own as opposed to a therapist suggesting it to me. And at the same time, I'd given up the alcohol, and so I was able to really feel this. I confronted my family over the sexual abuse, and the whole family disowned me. So I've been living here in the U.S. on my own for 30 years, aside from being married for 3 1/4 years. And that's when I started into a major depressive disorder and suicidal. I wanted to die because I started re-experiencing the memories, which came up naturally since I'd given up the alcohol. I also, thank God, had a wonderful trauma therapist at the time who just sat and listened to me and gave me support. I wasn't on antidepressants, and I wanted to die. But I, looking back now, I believe that my faith in the divine kept me going, and I was a survivor, and I was determined to heal. And so this started a process of healing. I've been in therapy 30 years now. I have I've done recovery work over my 21 addictions. I've addressed my dissociative identity disorder in that I fragmented and left my body. That's how I dealt with all the trauma and the pain. I had post-traumatic stress disorder, and by that I mean I was hypervigilant. I was jumped at any intrusion whatsoever. I couldn't sleep throughout the entire night because that's when a lot of the trauma and abuse occurred. I wanted to die. And so I also had chronic fatigue syndrome and But above all, I was a victim. I related to the world through the eyes of a victim. That's how I saw the world, that you were doing this to me. That was my perception, because that was based on my childhood. And I was told repeatedly that God hated me. And so I repeatedly, and so I grew up with a God, even though I was raised Catholic and went to parochial schools, I grew up with a God who hated me. And that was based on my parents, who were the authority figures. And that's all I saw. And so I transferred it on to God or a higher power. So I got into 12-step programs and had to look at my victim, being a victim, taking responsibility for my life, sharing with another person the lying, stealing, the cheating, all under the guise of alcohol. I had to make amends to others for what I did or said, including the people I'd harmed and who had harmed me. I also started to develop, with the help of a spiritual counselor, a concept of a loving higher power. But I remember seeing the spiritual counselor, and she said to me, and I said to her, I have all this anger, rage towards the divine. She said, well, why don't you talk to the divine about this? And we need to work through. So I did a lot of pounding on pillows to get the anger out. But it was also addressed to my parents. I had murderous rage towards them as the memories started to come up of their own accord. And so I also started to get into other 12-step programs, and you name it, I tried it. I was seeing a spiritual counselor for 8 years. I did EMDR work.
Can you describe what EMDR is for us?
Certainly. It's a type of intense form of therapy, working with another therapist. This is in simple terms, to help, with the help of the therapist and her using a type of instrument, for me to look at that instrument, and slowly the memories would come up and the feelings. And I spent 6 years with two therapists doing this. And a good percentage of the memories came up, but so did the emotions. The wanting to die, the aloneness, the isolation, the victim. And these two therapists just sat with me and often held me or comforted me and were there for me in many, many ways, and they were very loving and kind. And so this EMDR took up a good percentage of releasing the memories. Mind you, I was very angry afterwards, after each session, and I was seeing one therapist twice a week for this, as well as my own therapist, to release all the memories and release the memories held in my body. Because I believe that, for me, that the memories were held in my body, hence the chronic fatigue syndrome, the DID, the PTSD, they were held in my cells. And as I started to release these memories and the emotional feelings, the anger, the rage, the shame, the victim, I started to get better. And
just for our listeners,
EMDR stands for eye movement desensitization reprocessing.
Reprocessing,
very powerful.
Correct.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I had an EMDR therapist who was taught directly under the therapist, and she's in this Bay Area, who began EMDR. And mm-hmm. So I got hands-on treatment. And she guided me and believed me. And so I, to be honest with you, I didn't believe that these memories existed. However, I felt the emotional component. I felt the anger, rage, and hatred, and I felt it to the depths of my being, the pain. In some circles.
I want to ask, how old were you when the abuse stopped? How old were you when you escaped?
Escaped. Around 18, 19 when I started traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognize now that was the introduction to my independence. I pushed and pushed to travel, and then I left my family of origin at 21 years of age and moved to Great Britain. And even though my alcoholic tendencies went with me, I was able to escape the control and power of the cults, because I was also on loan to another three cults, including my mother's and grandfathers. And so other forms of therapy that I've done one-on-one talking, writing, doing memory work on myself, where in meditation the memories would come up, and so I'd write them out and then share them with my therapist, and felt it in my body, my mind, and spirit. I've done spiritual counseling. I've done depth hypnosis work. And when I got to a point where I felt I'd done it all, my current therapist, who's a trauma therapist and a PhD, started doing shamanic healing. And I was guided to do that as well, and shamanic healing and depth hypnosis. And that started my healing myself, and also my therapist healing me on a shamanic level, on a depth hypnosis level. And by that I mean depth hypnosis is working. It's very different to other forms of therapy in that it works with the client's higher self. And my therapist was trained in shamanic healing, where we would work with guides on the other side. Spiritual guides I'm talking about. And where also she started working with me with internal family systems. And by that I mean that there was a lot of subpersonalities in my system who had broken off or fragmented in order to deal with trauma and the abuse.
And can you say a little bit more about that for people that might not be familiar with the idea of parts work or sub-personalities?
Okay,
what's a sub-personality?
I've done personality work and healing the inner child for 30 years on myself. And by that I mean, when I first got into 12 steps, I was so in fear that I couldn't even see any help whatsoever. So my little inner child was up in a tree, and she would come down for anyone at all, including the divine. And so I split off into parts. I split off into the angry part, the intimidator part, the victim part, the alcoholic part, the addict part, the overeater part, all of the addictions, and the murderous part who wanted to kill. And so I broke off. That's because I couldn't deal with it. If I had, I would have died without a shadow of a doubt. And so she encouraged me with shamanic healing and depth hypnosis to get in touch with my higher self, who I already had, my higher self, and with the spirit guides. And then she started with internal family systems work and addressing these parts, like the intimidator, the victim, the addict. Yes, I've done so much healing myself over the memory, but I hadn't addressed the fragmented part who'd left my body and gone on to the other side. And so little by little, she's been helping me, and I've done the work on myself as well, bring these parts back in to myself, to where I've slowly started to become whole. And I'm hoping to finish this work in the next month. And so I will be coming from a place of wholeness, not working and healing from those subparts, the victim. Because that's how I saw the world. I was a victim, and that's how I saw the world. So I would do the healing on myself that way and with others, not knowing. Thank God I haven't done that type of work for years and years and years now.
How do you move out of the victim
role?
How do you move out of the victim role?
A good question. I didn't even know I was a victim. I thought the world owed me, and I blamed everybody else for it and not myself. So in 12-step programs, I had to look at my part. I had to take responsibility. I lied. I stole. I cheated. I was a manipulator. I was an intimidator. I had to look at my part in this. And then I had to look at how I saw the world. And this was where I started working with my belief systems, because that's how I saw the world, through the eyes of manipulator, through the eyes of victim, through the eyes of intimidator. That's how I saw the world. And once I started, and this is mostly now with parts work, have I been able to identify my belief systems. It's my belief systems that need to be changed. And in so doing, I now see the world differently. I'm still working on this right now, but I'm no longer seeing through the eyes of the lens of an intimidator, of an addict, someone who blames the world. I take responsibility for myself, and I now recognize the two. And I can remember, this touched me deeply, when I first started doing all this heal work, I started to smell and see the roses, really, really see them, instead of just walking by them. I started to smell and see them, because I was recovering my emotions. And so it's been a process for me. I confronted my family over the trauma and abuse, and this was in my first year of recovery, and my whole family disowned me. It was the toughest thing I have ever gone through in my life.
What was that about? Why did they disown you, do you think?
I know for sure because they're addicts, alcoholics, and they didn't want to look at, which is symptomatic of sexual abuse, they didn't want to look at their part. So my mother told me I was possessed by Satan. My father told me I was needed psychiatric help. And this is symptomatic of the denial. It runs so deep. And so my sister initially supported me, but then she saw what was being done to me. She withdrew that support. And so I've been here on my own. You know, I got divorced here in the US for 30 years, and I've had to really become independent, not only of my family. I put my family on a pedestal. And that's why my whole world came tumbling down around me, because I no longer had that pedestal.
Was your sister abused as well?
All three of us were. And foster children stayed with my family. They were abused. My father was in charge of a huge cult, and my mother was in charge of a coven. And you asked me how I escaped. I was determined to escape, and I wanted to fight back, and that's what I did. I was severely punished, and the Australian Aborigines partly raised me, and they healed me. They helped me to fight back, but basically they loved me, and this is the only love I had. And so I'm totally indebted to them.
I'm curious about, so you mentioned being raised Catholic, and there was this satanic ritual abuse happening with these cults. How did those interface with each other, or were they separate?
Well, my father, no, they weren't separate. My father was studying to be a priest. And in the last year of the seminary, and he broke down, had a nervous breakdown. And shortly thereafter, met my mother. And that's how it all started. And I hate to say this, but he recruited all types of people, including priests. And so priests very often were at our house and were part of the cults. Partly government, political leaders, doctors, attorneys, teachers. And
what was the purpose of the cults?
The cults was, I believe, for power and control. And because these people had been deeply hurt and sexually abused, they wanted power and control over women. And they got it. Oftentimes there were addicts, alcoholics, and there was a lot of alcohol and drugs going on. That was part of every ceremony. And I was told repeatedly that I would be killed if I escaped. And so it's a great deal of secrecy. It happens worldwide. Under our very
So I know there's steps. I know there's a lot of denial around this type of abuse, and we talked a little about your really wanting to be sensitive and not triggering others, and we aren't going to talk about any details. But how would you describe the difference between satanic ritual abuse and other forms of abuse.
Okay, human trafficking. Being used as a sexual slave for pimps for large organizations. Satanic ritual abuse is used for the sole purpose of worshipping the devil and evil. And
what do they get out of that?
They get out of money, because I was on loan to other cults, being paid substantially, the power, the control, and more often than not, those who've been sexually abused often abuse others in different forms, but it's their way of having power and control over women or men for the sole purpose. They've in essence given their soul over to the devil, and their sole purpose is harming and destroying the soul. They've gone to the dark side.
So my experience with this type of, when you're really working with darkness, is that it actually feeds on suffering. Suffering is like food for it.
Correct.
So creating suffering in others is actually the purpose, because that is energy that gets used for darkness.
That's one of the purposes, yeah.
What are the other purposes?
Power and control. In the shamanic world, we have negative forces around us and positive forces. And they've turned their will and life over to the negative forces. And so where there's anger, rage, these negative forces are drawn to that. They want to live through the person. And as there's more anger and rage, more negative forces are attracted to this, until it actually rules the person. I would venture to say, like Adolf Hitler. People who are controlled by these negative forces for the sole purpose of killing, destroying the soul, which I believe is one of the most, and this is where sexual abuse differs. It doesn't try to destroy the soul, but tries to emotionally, physically hurt the other person or children or whoever it is. And they may not even be aware of this, because they may be an alcoholic addict who, when they're drinking or using, can do these forms of abuse. Not always, but can.
So I'm going to take a quick break and say you're listening to Spiritual Psychology with Renee McKenna on Mutiny Radio, and my guest today is Kim Kubel, a therapist and healer who operates a nonprofit, Strength to Heal. You can find her on the web at www.strengthtoheal.org. And if you feel like you have suffered abuse or know someone who may have, she has a range of resources and really wants to offer hope for healing and recovery to everyone who's suffered in this way. And she's brave enough to tell us her story and share her healing adventure and travels with us. So thank you,
May I add Oh, sorry to interrupt. I also have another website, kimkubel.com.
Could you spell that out?
Oh, yes, sure. K-I-M Kubel. This is all one word, Kubel. K for Kim, U for up, B for boy, A for Albert, L for long, .com.
Excellent.
Sorry to interrupt, Renee.
No, I'm grateful for your sharing in this way and all of the different therapies that have been helpful to you. And so I wonder how you turned from, you know, we're always continuing our healing journey. I am too. I like to say I became a therapist because I did so much therapy myself. Continue, you know, the work, the path of unfolding of who we are as a person and seeking our own best and highest self is an endless one, I think, as long as we have skin and legs on. But I'm wondering how you came to become a healer yourself, move from receiving healing to becoming a healer.
I believe I was guided, spiritually guided, to do this work. That I forgot to add, I have a guru who's now deceased, and his whole motto is love all, serve all. And so I have this mission to have this healing center around the world, and it'll happen. But it's not me. All I am is the instrument through which he works. And so I believe, I've been told that this is my mission, and to help others who have been in the same predicament and are in the same predicament I am, to heal holistically. And that includes spiritually, not just your regular therapeutic modalities, but healing the whole person, mind, body, soul, spirit.
Mm.
And so I was guided. I believe I was guided. I've had this nonprofit for 10 years now. And yes, it's changed over the many years. And right now I give workshops. I see clients again as of next month. I hold groups. I give talks. I'm about to give a talk at my school next month on metamorphism. And so I'm out there to educate that this happens, and it happens right underneath our doorstep. It's just that people don't want to look at the darkness. Where there's light, there's darkness. And we can turn that darkness around into light.
I have a saying that all light casts a shadow.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you see the revelation of all of the long-term sexual abuse coming out of the different archdiocese of the Catholic Church as correlated to the ritual abuse that you experienced? Or are those more isolated incidents?
No, they're not isolated. I believe the world, people are not willing to put up with this and the secrecy with the Catholic Church. And so people are coming forward. They have the courage to come forward. And even though the church has moved priests from one parish to the other or to one country from another, people are coming out and they're telling their story. And so even though it's so, so difficult to do, it's admirable because in so doing, one is healing oneself, gaining the power back, and also healing the world at the same time.
Hmm.
Well, Kim, I wonder if you have any specific message of hope you'd like to give to any of our listeners who may have had serious abuse of any different kind, that you would want to offer them as a survivor yourself. Resources, encouragement, suggestions, how to start a healing journey.
Go to my website and you'll see plenty of resources there. Ask around for a spiritual counselor or a trauma therapist. And there are resources on my website. Seek help. You are not alone. This is a very isolating and very alone. And that you're not alone and you will be believed. The cults told me that I would be killed if I shared. But now I'm coming out. And so you can come out to me or whoever. And it is happening. And it's not just in the U.S. It's happening in other countries throughout the world. Reach out. Get it. If you can, a therapist on a sliding scale, and then I have on my website, choose a therapist. And that gives guidelines of how to ask these questions to see whether or not you're a right fit for the therapist. I would suggest a trauma therapist. I would suggest getting support from people who will believe you. Many didn't believe me, and many just didn't want to have anything to do with me. Didn't believe me.
Yeah.
I was in a reenactment of when I tried to tell the nuns, when I tried to tell people, other people, what was happening. And so it was reenactment. Now I can tell. I tried to tell the Catholic priest. All I knew was that I was very, and he used to say to me, Kim, you were very, very depressed, and he supported me through it all at a later point in time, when he really knew what was going on. Go online. And there are books out there which come from an angry point of view, because that's where they're at right now. However, I believe one can work through the rage, the hatred, the anger to a place of forgiveness, forgiving the behavior. Forgiving the people, but not the behavior. Confronting the abusers. And I would strongly suggest having a therapist with you when you did that at the time, because it'll bring up a lot of stuff.
You suggested maybe some questions that people might ask a potential therapist.
Correct. And it's choosing a therapist. Like, firstly, do they take sliding scale? Are they aware of addiction recovery? Are they aware of spiritual recovery? How do you see the divine? This is taking care of yourself. And for me, if a client asked me that, I would think, whoa, they're really taking care of themselves and wanting to know all this. Because in essence, you're giving over your story and being extremely vulnerable to a person you really don't know. So you need to know all this. How do you handle trauma and abuse? Are you a trauma therapist? Have you done your own healing? That's crucial. is, have you done your own healing? Or if not, then the therapist will project their own unwholeness, their own depths of pain and suffering onto the client. And I've experienced this, and I've seen it happen time and time again. And that's why I put that on there, choose a therapist. And as I, believe it or not, as I got healthy and healthier, so did the therapist.
Right. Well, water seeks its own level.
I beg your pardon? I beg your pardon?
Water seeks its own level as we get better.
That's right. That's so true. And it's helped tremendously to have a trauma therapist who's done her own work, who's in 12-step recovery, and for me, who has done parts work and shamanic healing. But those two are not, you know, I did a lot of my own healing without those two. It's only until I got to the tail end of my healing that I started doing shamanic work. Depth hypnosis I did really very, very in my first few years with a spiritual counselor. But I believe I was guided to the right therapist, spiritual counselors who would help me at the time. I was guided the whole way because I prayed for it and I'd done my research and I asked around, you know, I didn't go blindly into it.
So how have you come from being a victim of satanic ritual abuse to being now obviously a very faith-driven spiritual person? How did you come?
How did I come? Okay, John of the Cross, who's a Catholic mystic, talks about it. He calls it the dark night of the soul. I went through many dark nights of the soul, recovering the memories, seeking somatic healing, seeking EMDR, seeking spiritual counseling, seeking one-on-one, you name it, I tried it. And I persevered. I didn't give up, even when I was suicidal and wanted to die, which happened quite a bit because as I was recovering all the memories, that I had the strong support of a therapist. There was a strength in me not to give up. And by that, I was a survivor. Now I'm a thriver. But I never gave up. And I had the wonderful support of my therapist, 12-step recovery people, 12 steps, and I did a spiritual counseling because for me, the core was addressing those spiritual wounds.
And how were those addressed?
Through the help of a spiritual counselor, a spiritual director. She did a lot of depth hypnosis work with me, a lot.
And what does that mean, depth hypnosis work?
Depth hypnosis work. Well, she took me, knowing full well that my higher self, the divine, was in charge. She guided me with the help of taking steps 10 to 1, and helping me relax more and more and more. That by the time I got to step 1 and ready, I was in a spiritual garden, a beautiful garden, where I had my spiritual helpers with me. And that's where some of the memories came up, from past lives, from current lives. That's what helped me so much, and she validated me. She was the one who said, Kim, you've got a lot of rage and anger going on with the divine. Where were you when this was happening? Why didn't you come and help me? And what I got eventually was that the divine cannot stop man's free will. We have choice. And she helped me get the anger and rage out, not only to the perpetrators, but also to the divine, because I had a right to be angry.
Mm-hmm.
I had a right to feel these feelings. And I can remember, this is 30 years ago now, just pounding the pillows, pounding them to get the anger and rage out, then doing it with my therapist, then doing it in another safe group. I had to get the anger and rage out. And what I recognize was now is that a lot of that anger and rage was should have been channeled to the perpetrators, but I was channeling it to the divine. And so once I recognize that the divine cannot stop man or woman's free will, we have free choice. And that helped me with the anger, but I still just recently had to do some more anger work towards the divine, with these parts, because these parts were so vulnerable and raw. They were still hurting, with anger and rage towards the divine. So I did a lot of work with them and comforted them and helped them understand. So I am a work in progress, I believe. But the spiritual work was core for me, because that's where it all started. I was told repeatedly God hated me. God would abuse me. And I was forced to throw the Bible into the fire. You know, this is how, and yet I was raised by Catholics, a former just about priest. And my mother was in charge of Legion of Mary for many, many, many years, but she had her own cult going on. And so I got this belief from both sides.
And I was never believed. Must have been so confusing.
It was very, yeah, I was never believed. Even the nuns sent me home from school, and I was severely, very punished by the perpetrators and the nuns for sharing the secret, because no one believed me. And so it was, and now I'm well aware of that, and I'm well aware who I share this with. I have boundaries and I don't go into details. But I can meet people where they're at and provide a safe, loving environment, which people, survivors of these types never had.
So the thing that I hear very clearly throughout your story is the necessity to not be alone, the necessity to share in a safe way, with safe people who are going to believe you and really support you in your process, that the isolation is really, really part of the suffering.
It is, and bear in mind that oftentimes denial goes with confronting, particularly addicts, alcoholics, the abuse, which happened with me, and it can happen with a lot of survivors of sexual abuse, all this type of abuse. So, and be careful who you share this with, because not everybody's going to believe.
Right. And generally, you don't want to start with the confrontation. You want to start with getting yourself out of the situation as best you can, and get yourself safe. And Kim, again, has a lot of resources on her website, strengthtoheal.org. You can also find her at kimkubal.com. That's K-I-M-K-U-B-A-L. And Kim, I wonder if you have any parting words for anyone who's listening today.
I've been there. And I just want to share that you don't need to feel alone anymore. That I believe you and others do as well. And that you're taking your power back by sharing with safe, loving people, particularly trauma therapists or a pastor or a spiritual counselor. You need never be alone again. And I pray each day for survivors. And so I'll be praying for you as well. And you can email me. And I always reply to every email, even if it's as I did this morning from a third world country. And I get emails from all over the world. But that's, I'm here to love and serve others.
Do you want to leave your email for us? I know they can find it on your website at kimkubal.com, but do you want to leave the email right now?
It's kim at strength to heal. It's all one word. strengthto heal. heal.org. Kim at strengthtoheal.org.
Beautiful.
Kim,
thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say? Don't want to cut you off.
I was just about to say, your strength to heal, the name itself, is given to every survivor out there. You have the strength to heal, and I give you hope.
Mm. Well, thank you, Kim. Really a blessing to have you on. I know that the work that you're doing is really brave and powerful, really bringing the light into the darkness of these, some of the worst abuse that people can suffer, and giving them the hope that you yourself have experienced for recovery and healing, and even turning that to the next phase of service to others. So it's a pleasure to talk to you. I thank you so much for your time today on Spiritual Psychology with Renee McKenna.
Thank you, Renee.
Great to talk to you, Kim.
Thank you.
And
you
blessings
too.
In all you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.